ship.
No, aha, recorder check. Is recording good?
It's thank you very much.
And you're listening to Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. It's Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5, Out There airs, followed by Democracy Now! At 5 o'clock. Today, we have a very special guest. I mean, the fact that there's someone else in here besides me and Dwayne is special. But, yeah, Dwayne Rainey's in the studio with me here today, as well as Craig Della Penna. Craig, thanks for coming in today.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Ruthie.
Craig is a realtor, author, and rail trail advocate, and neighbor and friend, also a bed and breakfast operator with his wife, Kathy, the Sugar Maple Trailside Inn on Chestnut and the Rail Trail, and also a self-described quarterback behind the rail trail wars in the Northeast. So, Craig, one of the things that I know my listeners are interested in, and I'm really interested in, is the whole tunnel underneath the railroad tracks issue that has been promised year after year after year after year. So this would connect the rail trail that goes between Northampton and Florence with the rail trail that goes from Northampton to Hadley and Amherst. It's like the missing link that's like, what, like 50 yards?
Yep. It's got to go underneath the active railroad. And as part of the deal to buy the railroad corridor, the state said that they will be putting a tunnel underneath the active railroad. And somehow it got delayed. I'm not actually sure that the state actually owns it. I was trying to find out today, but I didn't have enough time to get confirmation on, because I'm not sure. That might be part of the reason why it's held up, because it might be where the state doesn't own the corridor. And but it's interesting, you know, this railroad actually, in Scotia, New York, about 10 years ago, there was a private crossing of the railroad that led to, that was an abandoned house. And then that's where the Erie Canal Trail crossed the active railroad at grade. And then mysteriously, the house burned down one night. So then there was no longer a need, really, for that grade crossing to be there for someone to drive across the tracks. But, of course, the trail was there, but the railroad blocked off the crossing and threatened with arrest anybody who dared to cross the tracks. Mm-hmm. And it's the same railroad here. In fact, they wanted the tunnel. They insisted that the state build the tunnel.
You mean Pan Am owned that, too?
It used to be called Guilford, and I'll go by that name.
Okay.
Pan Am's a venerable old airline name. It doesn't have anything to do with a freight railroad. So Guilford shut down the trail to make sure that the tunnel got built, but here the tunnel is not yet built over here. So, strange.
Yeah, it's interesting. At one point a few years ago, I called Guilford Rail or Pan Am. I got there, I don't know, their safety coordinator or something out in Billerica to ask them about, like, how is it possible to get an at-grade crossing for pedestrians and bikes to connect this, since the tunnel just seems to not ever be going to happen. In my conversation with that guy, he was kind of like, no, we don't do at-grade crossings. If we can avoid it, no, we're not going to do it. And then he essentially said, it's not the railroad's fault that people decided to settle on both sides of the tracks.
Yes.
Curse those people.
Yep, I'm sure that's the take over there.
Mm-hmm. The nerve.
So, Craig, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your experience with rail trails and how you've been involved. And
sure.
What's going on in this area a little bit?
I used to market rail freight in a used to identify commodities coming across the continent on trucks. And the railroad I worked for was the Pinsley Railroad Company, and they had short line railroads set up all over the United States. And wherever they had a railroad set up, they had an entity called Railroad Distribution Services set up to help generate traffic for that local short line railroad. And I marketed rail freight and operated transload facilities for Pinsley's Railroad Distribution Services entity. And we had facilities in Holyoke and Westfield locally here. But I had been doing that work in eastern Connecticut for several years. And anyway, one of my customers was a guy who used to take obsolete topo maps, geographical maps, and would bring them in on pallets, and then he'd ship them out to paper converters to be converted into envelopes. We might have seen them in stores. It's called geolopes. And he was in my office one day. This was, 20 years ago. It was February of 1994. He picked up a book I had on my desk called The Lost Railroads of New England by Ronald Dale Carr. And he then said, you know, they're taking a lot of these old rail lines and creating bike and hike trails out of them. I said, yeah, I'm a member of Rails to Trails Conservancy. But they've never really written a good book like this, he said. He said, my main line of business is not the topo maps. My main line of business, I'm a publisher of outdoor recreational titles and guidebooks. And so we chatted further, and I have a background in railroad history. And so he contracted with me that afternoon to write a manuscript. So my wife and I went out and bought bikes that spring. We hadn't ridden bikes in years, and we went out and biked every mile of every open rail trail that summer of 1994, which wasn't that many, maybe 26 in New England. And the book came out in 1995. It was kind of a minor league hit, and one of the editors suggested I should start doing a slide lecture series based on the pictures in the book. And I said, no, I couldn't do that. I've never spoken in public, and I don't think I would be good at that. And so they put me under contract to do one about New York and then one about New Jersey. And so we went out every weekend to places, you know, very obscure, forgotten little places, little podunk towns. And so we did that for several years. And then I started getting involved with the politics because one of the corridors that our company, Pinsley Railroad Company, owned was in Southampton, Massachusetts. And at this time, I had been on maybe 50 or 60 trails. And I started to see a pattern that once they got built, things were better in the communities. The longer the trail was in the ground, the better the community got. Well, I went to Southampton because there was a to-do going on. I just couldn't understand how people would be opposed to this. And I watched at a town meeting. I had never been to a town meeting before. And I watched how the antis called out all the elderly people to come in and help vote this down because you know what's about to happen, Matilda, if you don't come in. Outsiders are coming in and our way of life will change was the unspoken. Uh-huh. But in any case, they voted it down and I was stunned. And so I did start speaking on the subject and later was... I'm an inspirational bomb-throwing speaker, I guess. And so I was hired by Rails to Trails Conservancy to be the point person in the Northeast United States and mm-hmm. walk the halls. I was a lobbyist in all the New England states. And so I got involved in policy development and in all the rail trail wars. I parachuted in, so to speak, into the rail trail wars. Uh-huh. Have been accosted 3 times. Had a lawyer threatening to destroy the quality of my life if I continued to go into his town uh-huh. to teach locals how to resurrect a project that was voted down. Uh-huh. And so...
And this, to me, sort of seems tied in with the American notion of private property.
Well, yeah, a lot of the, you know, there was a shotgun blast of reasons why you shouldn't or couldn't do the trail and, you know, name the community. And there's always people opposed. But they'd always hit me at the end with a shotgun blast of, you know, all these reasons. But then they'd say, you know, don't tell us what to do. You don't live here. You don't live near one of them. Uh-huh. Don't tell us what to do. And so I had to graduate from merely talking the talk to actually walking the walk. So Kathy and I, in September of 2001, after a several-year search, we actually found a house that was to our liking. It sat 8 feet from the oldest municipally built rail trail in New England. And there we fixed it up. That was featured. The renovation was featured on Home and Garden Television. It was such an extreme makeover. Uh-huh. But we actually operate a bed and breakfast there. And originally it was set up so that I could offer up a complimentary weeknight stay at one of these pressure-packed meetings to one of the antis if they ever – decided they really wanted to live up close and personal and see this, we'd give them a complimentary weeknight stay, but it had to be on a weeknight because I wanted them to wake up to the laughter of children biking to school. And how many kids bike to school in your town, I'd say? Mm-hmm. And that would put the dead enders off to one side. And then the trail, the community could vote for the trail. It actually helped build about 20 trails in southern New England over the years. And so that's how it all started, mm-hmm. Ruthie.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so 8 feet from the path here up on your house on Chestnut Street and the rail trail.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been any downsides for you all living so close to the path?
Well, sometimes late at night, well, it was the previous bar, previous edition of the bar up by the Miss Florence Diner. Especially on sports nights where the local teams lost, it would be some disappointed fans going by our house late at night and sometimes getting louder than they should have been.
Yeah.
But it's like a giant sidewalk, I guess.
Yeah, and you sold us the house on the rail trail down mm-hmm. the block, which is
yes.
like for us, having that rail trail in the
yes.
backyard, it's just
natural.
It's a beautiful way to connect with the community because most people nowadays, like the streets are full of vehicles moving by rather quickly, whereas mm-hmm. the rail trail, it's like people are accessible. You can meet your neighbors and talk to yes. your neighbors and meet your neighbors' dogs. And
yep, it's the third place. The first place is your home life and your family. Mm-hmm. The second place is your workplace and that sort of relationships. But the rail trail is actually the third place in America that's been somewhat lost. And so it's a place where mm-hmm. people who wouldn't normally meet in the first or second place, but meet on mm-hmm. the third place. And in southern New England here, or let's say it this way, within 100 or maybe 150 miles radius of Northampton is the densest network of rail trail development in North America. Mm-hmm. There's over 200 projects underway. Mm-hmm. And so this, what is being built here, and it'll take time, and
yeah.
I'm patient.
Yeah.
And it'll get built, and once it does, it'll be more like Europe than anywhere else in the United States with the amount of bicycle immersion into communities and changing communities onto themselves because they're sort of like the bunny slopes of bicycling. But once you bring so many people up mm-hmm. over the course of a generation as biking as being normal, it will spread into the streets and it's already happening here.
Yeah. Dwayne, do you want to say anything about the rail trail and what it means to you? And like, because you were born and raised here, and because when you were born, they weren't around. Do you remember when the rail trail came in to Florence?
Yeah. When I was going to school, it was nothing but a dirt path, and we would walk from like up by Florence Casket to JFK. Yeah, so it was a good place to go and like drink, but it wasn't a good place to ride a bicycle then. But now, I mean, going to like up and through Leeds, getting up that hill, going to Amherst, going to East Hampton, Southampton line. I mean, when I was going to school at Westfield State, it was great. I couldn't wait to get to that road where I took a right. I mean, it was all right, but there's no shoulder. I mean, it wasn't really safe, and I'm really kind of waiting for them to patch through from Southampton into Westfield. And that would be great, because then you can go down to New Britain.
Right, or down to Farmington and New Haven. Craig, I really appreciate you coming into the station today mm-hmm. and sharing some of your knowledge. We'll get to a lot more in a bit. I also want to say thank you to all the people who've contributed to Valley Free Radio over the years and all the volunteers who got it started about a decade ago and people who've helped out with technical assistance, doing shows, training new people. I know I got some help trying to get this show together. People fundraising, people giving money. I'm grateful that I've been given the opportunity to do this show because of a lot of work that's been done by the people who came before me. And thanks to listeners for giving to pay the electric bills and rent and all those things. A little money goes a long ways when volunteers do so much. And this week is Pledge Drive week. So I want to ask you listeners, if you haven't already donated to WXOJ this week, or heck, even if you have, please consider the resource this station is in the community and consider what you can afford financially. to help keep it going. Call 585-1033 if you'd like to donate. There's people waiting to take your call. That's 585-1033. Any amount is helpful, and all income levels are welcome to donate. So you can donate over the phone. Don't worry, you won't be on the air unless you want to be, and we'll only mention your name if you consent. You can also donate online at valleyfreeradio.org. I just heard the phone ring. I think we got a caller. That's number one. I got a goal of 5 callers for this show. Well, I'm hoping that was a caller to donate and not just a caller to insult. you can also donate online at valleyfreeradio.org. And you can give a recurring monthly donation of as low as $2. $2 a month. You'd hardly even notice that, right? Dwayne, would you notice that?
That's one load of laundry.
I don't think you can donate quarters online, though.
I do my laundry more than that, but yeah.
Like I said, any amount helps. Again, the number is 585-1033. And thanks to everyone who's already given this week. Sorry, I hit the mic.
Let's give that telephone answer a hand cramp, a writer's cramp.
Yeah. Keep the phones buzzing. 585-1033. Or if you're calling from somewhere far away because you're listening in online, because we're streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org, you can donate too. The area code's 413-585-1033. All right. We'll go back to Craig. There was something else that I was thinking. I can't remember what I was thinking about the rail trails. Yeah, you want to give a little update on what's going on with the Northampton-New Haven line and connecting the links in Southampton and Westfield?
Well, the railroad corridor in Southampton has been under negotiations for a few years. Probably about 7 years ago, or 6 years ago, I went back into Southampton to resurrect the project. And after the drip campaign every month for about 4 years, we had a meeting at the library, and different speakers came in from all over New England to talk about how they built their rail trail in a little town just like Southampton. And so that actually helped get the town to a warm and comfortable place, and they voted to proceed ahead with purchasing the corridor and building the trail. But then it began the negotiations, and the railroad wanted more money than the corridor was actually worth. And so with the resurrection of the railroad and the Conn River line, the Connecticut River line here, that old rail that was pulled out as part of the deal, the Mass DOT has made arrangements to give that old rail, which is not good for high-speed passenger service, but good enough for slow-speed freight service. They made arrangements for the local railroad there in Southampton to come and get it, and then take an equivalent amount of the scrap value of the rail towards the differential between what the railroad wanted to purchase the corridor and what the town could actually pay based on the appraisal. And so the railroad is essentially at yes in all deal. The deal is getting locked down. Once the ownership of the corridor gets transferred to the town, then the town can then begin to develop the trail. And from my point of view, as a stone dust trail, that's quite fine, given that 2/3 of the rail trails in the United States are soft surface. That's fine by me. But I think the town wants a more polished, finished, paved surface. And so they'll get the soft stone dust trail first, and then they'll work to upgrade it to be a paved trail. Now, that will go all the way to the north side. Well, actually, it'll stop on the south side of Southampton, right where Sheldon's Ice Cream is, crossing Route 10. That section there, I don't think, is scheduled to be developed to a trail from there to the Westfield line, because it's still active a little bit in Westfield. And so they'll probably just have an on-road connection, like maybe down, I forgot the name of the road there, Brickyard Road, I think, and going into Westfield. And then in mid-Westfield, it'll be developed as a trail. It's already under construction. And there's a 30-mile segment in operation now from the south side of Westfield into Southwick and northern Connecticut.
And then we've ridden that. It's
yeah.
Nice.
That's wonderful.
Matter of fact, we had a conference in Simsbury, Connecticut last fall talking about the gaps and what it's going to mean to the communities to have this 80-mile rail trail built. What's it going to mean in terms of economic development? And so there's some traction in Connecticut to help fill in the missing gap there, which is primarily Plainville, Connecticut, where the railroad is still active by a few hundred yards there. And so there's an effort to get around that gap. And so things are moving ahead. Matter of fact, I believe at the end of this month is a meeting in New Haven to talk about the last remaining gap in New Haven, too. So it's starting to get done.
Would you be willing to venture a guess as to when the Southampton part might be open to the public?
I'd say within 4 years. Within 4 years, it'll be 98% done,
cool.
the entire corridor to New Haven. Yeah,
that should be within our lifetime.
Oh, yeah. It's almost done.
Stone dust isn't that bad to ride on either.
No. You know, there's a ride from Buffalo to Albany on the Erie Canal Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that one a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I did that, and I met Al Taboni on that ride.
Wait, who's that?
Al Taboni from Ride NoHo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I met him on that ride and didn't even know we lived two blocks from each other here and met out in Buffalo, and here we go.
That's funny.
But that's mostly stone dust on that trail.
Yeah, talking about stone dust trails makes me think about the Leeds, Williamsburg, like that extension.
Oh, that's an anomaly. That was built incorrectly, and I'm not going to say it was done on purpose, but it does look suspicious because the best stone dust trails in the Northeast are actually in on the Wachusett Greenway section of the Mass Central Rail Trail, and they have recipes on how to do this. And when that trail extension was built in Leeds, they didn't use the right recipe.
Well, is that why its waters washed it out so easily, part of
right,
it?
Right, absolutely. That was not normal. Matter of fact, as I said, 2/3 of the rail trail mileage in the United States is soft surface. Maybe half of that is stone dust type. They don't wash away. Mm-hmm. That was not needed to happen.
You don't think it was just why do you think the contractor made that error?
Because the recipe was incorrect.
They just didn't have experience, or I wonder.
Well, I would say that would be the gentlest thing to say. They didn't have experience. They didn't have experience to get the right recipe.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what's going on with I think Northampton, the city, just purchased the rest of some more land. Mm-hmm. Does it go up to the Williamsburg line?
Oh, yes, it goes into Williamsburg.
Okay.
As a realtor, I track dead railroad corridor sales. Mm-hmm. And if I have to step in and buy it myself, well, I have a vehicle in which to do that. But in Williamsburg, I didn't have to do that because we watched a woman who bought some land up there from one of the litigants in the court case that figured out who's supposed to own the land. And so after that person sold it to this woman, we watched her build her house, and then we approached her to go say, did you know that you have 1,300 feet of that railroad corridor? And she didn't really know. And we said, we'll give you an X amount of money to purchase it. Yeah, but we won't be able to do anything with it for several years. And she said, well, I'm game for that, but let's get going. Let's do it. Uh-huh. And so that was purchased by Friends of Northampton Trails and Greenways in partnership with the city of Northampton, mm-hmm. who then cleaned out the title by making sure that everything was properly done. And then it was offered up to the town of Williamsburg as a gift. One of the reasons in Massachusetts, the town meeting rules prevent big change in communities, and even as minor a thing as a gift of land for a park or conservation purposes has to go to the town meeting and get to 2/3 majority at town meeting. And we knew that was like the litmus test here in Williamsburg to see if they would accept the gift of land. And they did by 80%. But it just dead-ended in the woods.
Right.
And so the next step is to get out to a publicly accessible right-of-way. Mm-hmm. That means a street.
Yeah.
And so the best way to do that was to get a path that had been in existence since the railroad was built in the late 1860s along the Mill River down to South Main Street. And it just so happened that the woman who owned the house that owned that strip of land along the river wanted to sell her house. Mm-hmm. And her house bordered the dead railroad in the back. And who better to sell houses near dead railroads than me? And so I was approached to sell the house, and it did close. And part of the deal, she gifted or sold very inexpensively the strip of land along the Mill River that connects the street to the dead railroad. And so that strip of land, the dead railroad, and the strip along the river will be under construction within a year, probably as a stone dust trail, but very mm-hmm. properly done because it's undergoing sort of like mm-hmm. erosion up there, needs to be fixed up. And so here you go, inch by inch. It's into Williamsburg now.
Speaking of trails that weren't built very well, what do you think the recipe from Northampton to Amherst was on that trail?
Well, this is where I might anger some people. You know, I think God bless DCR for doing what they do, because they're sort of like the visionary state agency, whereas no matter what state you're in, typically the DOTs are not visionary entities. And so you have an entity like DCR, the State Parks Agency, going in and doing a lot of these big regional trail projects. But their main, I say this facetiously, but their main fault is that they're an environmental organization and not transportation. And so the trees that were allowed to grow up next to the dead railroad for a better part of a generation that wouldn't have been there had it still been a railroad, then stop running, and then converted to trail right away. Uh-huh. Those trees, the fact that it took so long to build it, it's a trail, the trees grew up, and the environmental agency likes the trees, of course. Yeah. And so the trees were of the species that have shallow roots. That
like
to
locust.
Go, yeah, they go underneath the asphalt, and they buckle the asphalt. Mm-hmm. And so the fix is to go in and chop down those trees or make sure they're not as close. And then also to put root barriers down. And so that was a defect. You know, if you look at the history of DCR, though, they bought all the carriage roads. They were the stewards of the carriage roads, which are horse and carriage roads and bicycle roads in eastern Mass around the reservoirs. And now they're being turned over 100 years later to DOT to manage. And so the same thing will happen, I believe, over time, that DCR's role will be seen as visionary, but not in the end. Those roads, the rail trails, will be given over to DOT. Maybe I'm too much of a visionary. Or maybe there's angry people calling in here now.
Yeah, the phone is ringing. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP Northampton, 103.3 FM. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Dwayne Rainey is also here, and we've been talking with Craig Della Penna from Florence about the rail trails and stuff. This is Fun Drive Week, so we're looking for money to help keep the station going.
Money.
One of the things about the rail trails that I really like is just how they're a resource for everyone, whether you live in Meadowbrook or at Soldier On up the VA or Washington Ave or anywhere you live, anyone is welcome to use the rail trails, whether you're in a wheelchair or a walker or running or dogs, turkeys, bears, everybody uses it. Kind of like the radio station. It's a community station. Anybody can listen and anybody can give. So call 585-1033 to donate. Operators are standing by to take your call, unless they're already on the line with someone else.
Well, speaking of bikes and bike paths, and there's two gift certificates from the pedal people for a $15 pledge.
And it's a $30 value. That's double your money.
Yes. We got River Valley Market for $5 pledge.
Yes, the station is all volunteer run, so any amount that you give will go a long ways. We have no advertisers or commercial funders. It's all listeners supported. We do accept underwriting from underwriting from local businesses. If you want to underwrite a show like Democracy Now, or, well, if you want to, you can underwrite out there. I'll take it. But anyway, call 585-1033 or go to valleyfreeradio.org to donate. You can donate as little as $2 a month for a recurring donation if you go online. What do you got, Dwayne, there? You got an announcement there, Dwayne?
Yeah, it's a film that's coming to the Academy of Music on April 23rd at 7 p.m., $10 or $8 for students. It's called The Throwaways. It's a film producer of Four Little Girls and Slavery by Another Name. So, isn't this one about the homeless?
Yeah, I think that producer, Ira McKinley, has done some other films. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, well, those are some of them. But isn't this one just on the homeless people in and around Northampton?
Yeah, this is by someone who was homeless in Northampton and became a producer through NCTV. And now he's made this film that's going to be showing at the Academy of Music next Thursday. Is that right? Is that the 23rd next Thursday? All right, there's lots of shows on Valley Free Radio that offer a wide variety, like this one.
Wednesday nights, you might tune in to the Warm Heart of Africa to hear the funky, sinuous rhythms of Afrobeat. Or the pulse of Algerian rhyme music. Or the desert trance of Tuareg blues. Or Township Jive from Johannesburg. Or catchy soukous beats from the Congo. Those are just a few examples of what you might hear from 7 to 9 every Wednesday night right here on Valley Free Radio. Join me, your host, DJ Vinyl Scratch, on the Warm Heart of Africa, a celebration of African and Afro-diaspora music, culture, and history, delivered with a groove.
Every day in the electronic media, people talk, or more likely yell, about politics.
We do things differently.
Our job is to talk about the things that we hope will be of interest to you without all the shouting and anger.
We hope to provide facts and have reasonable discussions about the issues of the day.
That is to disagree without being disagreeable.
Join us every Friday at 7 p.m. for Civil Politics here on WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton, or anytime online at civilpoliticsradio.wordpress.com.
And you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP. In the studio with me today is Craig Della Penna talking about rail trails. Also, Dwayne Rainey is here. And we just got a comment from a caller. We were talking about rail trail surfaces and paving versus stone dust, whatever. And the caller just wanted to say bring up the issues that paving brings in terms of water and not allowing the water to seep through. Do you have any knowledge, Craig, of how the crushed or the packed, the stone dust permeability compares with paving?
Well, it goes through a little better than paving, obviously, yes. But the there is sort of a middle ground material. If you go to Walden's Pond in Concord, a generation ago, that parking lot there was paved with what is called porous pavement. Pavement that allows water to seep through it. And one of my rail trail friends, one of my battle-hardened rail trail warriors in Natick, Massachusetts, is an expert on permeable surfaces. And so he's written a number of papers, and if somebody wanted to drop me an email, I can send you the link on that. It's about 10% more expensive than regular asphalt, but it could be done. And I think there's been some trail development in the United States that uses permeable pavement. Mm-hmm. Not any place around here, though.
Uh-huh. Is there some way where you can both have a surface that can be plowed in the winter, as well as is this like with the stuff you're talking about, allow both for plowing and
yes.
for some water penetration?
It is plowable. Yeah. In fact, as a matter of fact, there was a test bed at least a few years ago on Route 128 north of Boston in the Woburn area, and they discovered that the modern tires on modern asphalt is very loud. The droning noise from interstate highways is much higher today than it was a generation ago. But the porous pavement, in addition to being water permeable, is also quieter.
That's cool. The rail trail of butters would probably like that, so the cyclists aren't so noisy going by.
Right.
Especially when you put cards on your spokes.
Well, unless the cards are hitting the pavement. Speaking of plowing, so this year the path between Taco Bell and downtown Northampton, or Main Street, it wasn't plowed this year after the bid dissolved. And I know you've done some research, Craig, on how expensive it is to plow rail trails. Can you share any of that?
Yep. The ironically, about 8 years ago, I was approached by some folks associated with a friends group attached to the Minuteman Rail Trail in Somerville, Arlington, Lexington, Bedford. And they really wanted to have that plowed because it seemed like a waste to have this great resource and then for 12, 14 weeks in the winter have it be shut down for really nonsensical reasons. And so they approached me because they knew that we were getting ready to plow here. This is probably, maybe it was 10 years ago. But in any case, they started an effort, an advocacy effort, and it took hold. It took them 2 years, but they did get traction where they were able to start plowing the trail in Arlington, where that was the first place. And more recently, they've actually discovered that they, instead of having the town plow it, they have a private contractor do it with a pickup truck, and it's $34 a mile. That seems kind of affordable to me.
Yeah, it does to me too.
And so that was kind of a breakthrough because nobody really knew how much it cost.
Yeah, now because we've asked the city, the DPW, for estimates, and they've had a hard time breaking it down, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one day in late winter, Dwayne and I were biking to East Hampton, and from where the rail trail crosses Lovefield Street.
Yeah,
south or west, whatever direction that is, for about a quarter of a mile, it was plowed. Like it was just like out of nowhere plowed, and there was a man who was walking his dog, and I was like, and I stopped. I was like, "Excuse me, do you know how this trail happened to be plowed here today?" And he said, "Oh yeah, the man that lives in that house, he comes out here and does the best he can. His wife makes him do it because they want a place for them and their neighbors to be able to walk their dogs."
Isn't that great? Yeah. That isn't. I forgot his name.
I don't know the name. It was a brown house that the man pointed to a couple houses down from the rail trail crossing.
Well, that was, you know, that's kind of what happened in East Hampton there years ago. That was kind of a shame because part of the reason the pushback in East Hampton against the trail obviously prevailed and got built. But one of the reasons why there was some folks opposed to it will cost our community too much. We can't take care of it in any fashion. And so the Friends group stepped up and said they would take care of it during the summer, but they weren't going to plow it in the winter.
Yeah.
Winter, there'll be lots of people using it for cross-country skiing and such. Well, of course, there would be, that is true, there is some degree of use in those winter sporting activities. But for the most part, when you don't plow a trail, it has 10,000 footprints on it within 48 hours. And so that tells you really what the people are voting with their feet.
Yeah.
And so it should be plowed down there. But it took the Northampton path about a generation for that awareness to come forward.
Yeah.
And it'll take the same time in East Hampton, I'm sure. Eventually it will be plowed.
Don't you think that'll be accelerated a bit by Northampton's experience? The fact that Northampton does it?
Yeah, I think that would be the case. Yeah. But most rail trails have to have a generation in the ground for the sort of cultural shift to take place. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing stays the same.
Yeah.
And everything's on a little bit of a continuum. And this sort of greening of communities or making bike-friendly communities takes about a generation.
When was the – do you have a comment, Dwayne?
Yeah, I was just going to say one of the selling points is just it's a straight shot from the American Legion to the World War II Club. So, so why don't we plow that section?
Brilliant idea.
Yeah, I love it in the wintertime, especially winter nights, having the rail trail plowed because I don't really want to ride on the streets at night in the dark with ice in the corners and cars and the headlights and the glare and everything. It just feels so much safer on the path.
Well, we've seen since the path is plowed and since the path is ostensibly connected to the state, the municipal path and the state path, we see a huge uptick in nighttime traffic coming up the path because when we sit there and in the evenings, we see the bikes coming up the trail.
From your house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's very dramatic increase.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to mention before is that, so the Northampton to Florence stretch of the rail trail, that's municipally operated as compared to, you're talking about the DCR, just to clarify that the stretch from... Or is it from?
It should be from Woodmont Street.
From Woodmont,
yeah,
okay.
Woodmont all the way east.
All the way to
Belchertown. Yeah.
That's all DCR.
Yes.
Controlled. Let's see. You're also working, Craig, on the Mass Central Rail Trail. Can you say a word about that?
Well, the Mass Central Rail Trail is the longest rail trail in New England, Northampton to Boston. And there's about a dozen groups operating there under that flag. In fact, last Saturday, the East Quabbin Land Trust, which owns 3.5 miles of the corridor, including three bridges, I sold them that corridor. I stopped it from being sold to adjoining landowners and gave the land trust a couple of years to buy me out and my bridges. And they've actually got it mostly open. The bridges are getting redone. That last Saturday, they had a party in which they put railings up, and they had 52 railing sections to put up and the stanchions and bridge over the Ware River. And so we're actually now a few weeks away from the Clinton Greenway Conservation Trust, another sort of hybrid land trust operating in Central Mass. They are getting a grant, or hopefully they'll be getting a grant, we'll know in a few weeks, that they're going to be acquiring the 1,000-foot tunnel out there. There's a 992-foot tunnel in Clinton, Massachusetts that overlooks the Wachusett Reservoir and another mile and a half or 2 miles of dead railroad out there. And the state DCR is undergoing development of the 25 miles of trail from Waltham out to Berlin, Massachusetts. And so this thing is knitting together. It's probably 85% in public ownership now. And I'm watching the sections that are not. And there's about 25 places around the state where people have acquired the dead railroad behind their house. Uh-huh. And I have an automatic search that goes up on the MLS every night looking for specific addresses of properties that when they come on the market, we will send someone in to buy the house, carve off the dead railroad on the backside, and then sell the house without the dead railroad. And the dead railroad will then go to a local land trust or some trail group. And so we will reassemble this corridor.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. You're tuned in to WXOJLP 103.3 FM, Northampton. This is Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. You've been listening to Craig Delafena talk about rail trails, and Dwayne Rainey is here with us as well. Listening to Valley Free Radio is probably the most important thing you can do to support the station, so thanks for being with us. You can also support the station with your money. This is Pledge Drive Week, and we can use the money to pay for equipment and to pay for some of the syndicated shows. It's a special resource in the community, Valley Free Radio. Anyone can have a show. Anyone can have a voice. Like when I started this show, I had no experience. I didn't even know how to run the CD player. But now look at me. I still bumble along.
Yes. Well, watch out, Rachel Maddow.
I think she's safe. And if you don't want to commit to doing a show every week, maybe you can be on my show or help me out or produce something for it. Don't worry, there's no advertisers or commercial funders that you have to be good enough for. Valley Free Radio is listener supported. All right, even if you don't like this show, consider the shows you do appreciate, like Democracy Now! Or A Baha'i Perspective, maybe Farm to Fork or The Quiz Show, Toast and Jam Fridays at Noon. Well, call 585-1033 to give us your financial support. Again, I want to thank the people who've already given this week. And that's 585-1033. And we also have special prizes.
There's not if you, prizes.
What do you call them? It's kind of like
pledge
playing the
gifts.
Lottery. No,
donor
pledge gifts.
Gifts.
Yeah,
yes,
you can pick a gift that you want if you offer it. If you pledge, Dwayne, tell us what some of the things are people can get.
Here's one that just I'm gonna have to get. It's a pair of tickets to the Chickpea Kielbasa Festival Memorial Day weekend, and we have unlimited tickets. So for a $25 pledge. I'll see you at the Chickpea Kielbasa Festival.
When is that?
Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, the phone is ringing. Looks like we got another excited listener.
Somebody likes kielbasa.
No guarantees on that. Let's see. I have a couple other things I want to ask Craig about. So when the Amtrak service came to Northampton, when the trails got, or the when the rails got redone, and the bad order rail got made to good rail where trains could go faster, they put up these chain link fences on both sides of the tracks. And there's an article on the front page of the Gazette. Okay, chain link fences, I should specify, go on like from Taco Bell. Actually, the east side chain link fence goes from the old Comcast cable place on Bradford Street all the way down to close to the. I don't know, further down on Woodmont Street, close to the Sullivan Construction Building. And then the fence on the other side, on the west side, goes from Walgreens all the way down to Northampton Educational Collaborative. So the crossings are limited now that fence has gone up. It was a very popular crossing to go from Bradford Street and Woodmont Street right across the track so you could get to Stop and Shop, McDonald's, Taco Bell, all the commercial strip on King Street. Now that that's fenced off, it's difficult to pass. But there is an article on the front page of the Gazette last Friday that showed a picture of a hole in the fence so that the people can get across the tracks a little bit more easily. Craig, do you have any thoughts on that and public access around private strips of land?
Mm-hmm. I was surprised it took that long for the fence to be cut.
It's been there a while.
Well, I thought it'd be cut within the first 2 days.
Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks, maybe.
Okay. Well, that's because people are very polite around here. There's at least several rail with trail projects in eastern Massachusetts. That is to say, a dual-use corridor, rail with trail. That technically parts of this, what you just described, is called the rail with trail, the dead New Haven Railroad corridor next to the live former Boston and Maine Railroad owned corridor. The New Haven Railroad side is the trail, and the other side is the active railroad. The high speed train, you know, is part of sort of the litigation headache in America, causes projects to get more expensive than they really need to. Matter of fact, if you go to many places in eastern Mass, you're going to see places where trolley lines operate in close proximity to people. People don't throw themselves in front of the tracks by mistake. They only throw themselves in front of the trains on purpose. Yeah. And so you can never stop that aspect. But nonetheless, you know, a fence was just a CYA operation to just protect ourselves against litigation. We tried to stop.
What's CYA?
Cover your.
Okay. Oh, I think it is okay.
It's okay if I say that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, well, I don't want to try that.
But it
doesn't surprise me one bit, and the fact that you've actually harmed several hundred people a day by making their lives more difficult having to walk around or bike around this is really kind of silly, let's say.
It's like 3/4 of a mile each way, I think, to go down to North Street and then back up.
It's very disheartening. It was not a shock that the fence was cut. Now, the patronage on the train, yes, the train's a great thing, and I'm thrilled that it's here for a host of reasons, but the tunnel should be built, and that's why I think when the railroad came back with a high-speed way, there were all sorts of presentations by railroad police. In fact, the penalty for trespassing in Massachusetts is around $300, so you don't want to be caught out there. Mm-hmm. But then again, there's no one really watching.
Yeah.
They tried to put up a fence and say, okay, well, hopefully that'll work till we get the tunnel built. Let's hurry up and get the tunnel built, but it's still not built.
Yeah, I have a little funny story. So the rail trail there's an Adopt-a-Trail program that's from East Hampton to Northampton up to Florence, and volunteers have coordinated picking up trash and trying to do some maintenance on that. So Pedal People has adopted a stretch of that, the stretch from the North Street Bridge up towards Taco Bell. And so last Friday, we were out there picking up trash.
Don't incriminate yourself.
I don't care. We were out there picking up trash. And so the way the fence is there, it catches all the westerly wind-blown trash up against it. And then some of the trash kind of goes under the fence. Or maybe there's trash from when the railroad workers were working last year. And so there's like a line of trash on both sides of that fence line, as well as black locust and multiflora rose things growing in through the fence, tangling up with the fence and growing. So while my comrades were picking up trash along the path.
Legally.
I went over the fence with my trash bag and was picking up stuff on the fence line on the railroad track side. And this man walked by. He had walked through my friends who were obviously, I thought it was pretty obvious they were picking up trash. And then he sees me there and he said, "Do you have permission from the train company to be there?" And I said, "Nope." And I'm expecting the train any minute now, because it was like 1:30 and I expected the Amtrak. And I figured when I heard the horn, I would jump back over the fence or hide behind a stack of ties. Anyway, so I said, "Nope, I'm expecting the train any minute." And he said, "Well, you're trespassing." And I said, "I'm just picking up trash." And he said, "Well, it doesn't matter. You need to get the railroad company's permission before you do that, because you're trespassing." And I just kind of, I don't know, shrugged and kept on doing what I was doing. And then a couple of minutes later, I got this feeling like, I wouldn't put it past this guy to call the police. And I got a little nervous. So then I jumped back across the fence. And then I heard the Amtrak whistle blow, and the train came through, and we waved, and it honked at us. And then a minute later, I looked down the path, and there was the police. They had, like, pulled up onto the path in their car and looked down at us, and they just turned and drove away.
The first
time.
They came back a little while later.
Yeah, they came back a little while later too. I don't know what
Make
that was about.
Sure, we weren't breaking a law.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, have a song I'm going to play, and then we're going to wrap it up. Again, this is Pledge Drive Week. If you can donate to support Valley Free Radio, that'd be great. Thanks so much to the people that called in today. The number's 585-1033. And this, Craig, do you have anything else you want to add? We got a couple more minutes. Oh, and I'm going to play this song. I'm going to play Ray Tutaj's Stop, Look, and Listen.
I'll just say happy spring. And speaking of trail cleanups, you know, the Friends of Northampton Trails in Greenville will be hosting a trail cleanup, I believe, later this month. I'm not exactly sure when it is. But
I was told that they're not doing it because of the new Adopt-a-Trail program.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, then when you're on the trail, bring a bag and pick up your section of the trail.
Yeah, Kathy, your wife, is so great about that. Every day she walks the dog and picks up trash.
Here's a great story. She was out there picking up trash, walking the dog the other day, and some little kids said to her, "Oh, thank you so much for picking up the trash." Well, she was so thrilled. Mm-hmm. She's still talking about how little kids noticed that she was doing that. So that made her day.
And you may see the little signs if you're on the rail trail that says this section adopted by so-and-so. But just because your name is not on that sign doesn't mean you can't pick up trash.
That's right.
There's plenty of it raining down. There's another thing I wanted to announce. This Saturday is the monthly support group called What's Next? I Can't Breathe. It's a support group for people of color and their allies. It's Saturday at 2. It's in Northampton. You can call Kaolin at 341-3503 for more information, or you can go to her website, ltar.biz, ltar.biz. And that's Kaolin at 341-3503. This is...
Oh.
What? Go ahead, Dwayne.
Speaking of bikes, Bike Pass, 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock, 12 Northern Avenue. If you need some work done on your bike, stop on in and we'll fix you up.
All right. That's the Bike Lab. All right. Thanks for listening to Out There. This is Ray Toutage.
Better stop, look, and listen. If you want to live, you better stop, look, and listen. If you want to live, you better stop, look, and listen for that train. Don't you rush and don't complain. Don't you try to beat that big old train. Do you see that railroad crossing? What does it mean to you? Do you see that railroad crossing sign? What's it mean to you? You don't want to be another casualty because you're in a big hurry. Don't you try to beat that big old train. You gotta stop, look, and listen and live. You gotta stop, look, and listen and live. You gotta be wise. When you see those red lights flashing, what does it mean to you? When you see those gates are down, don't you go around. You don't want to be another casualty because you're in a big hurry. Don't you try to beat that big old train. You gotta stop, look, and listen. Then somebody's hit by a train. Don't you be the next one who didn't use the brain. If you're in the way, the train won't stop to let you by. If you're in the way.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the live week-long fun drive that we've got going on here at Valley Free Radio. The number to call in, again, is 413-585-1033. I'm here in studio. This is DJ Vinyl Scratch. I'll be coming up at 7 with the Warm Heart of Africa, but I'm also here with Saskia.
Hi.
Who will be going live at 6.
Live at 6, and we have lots of fun gifts for the pledge drive if you pledge on my hour.
Yes. Lots of fun. And this is Genre. I do Press Start to Continue on Monday nights and Civil Politics with DJ Vinyl Scratch.
Yes, that's
on Fridays.
There you go. Handle. And we are all here to answer your phone call.
All
if
here.
You want to make a
we
pledge.
Have been getting a lot of calls this afternoon, but we would really appreciate your call. 413-585-1033. It goes to support great shows like Out There that was just on right now.
I know, that was an awesome show.
It was a
show.
Great show. And plus, it supports Democracy Now, which is coming up in just a minute and a half or so. We just wanted to talk up
Alternatively speaking, which is up at six.
Alternatively speaking. So right now we have some gifts that we can get out to you if you give us a donation. We have a couple. We have tickets to the Kibasa Festival in Chicopee coming up on Memorial Day weekend. If you donate $30, then we can get you a couple tickets for that. We have a couple tickets to Taylor 2. It's an interpretive dance performance that's going to be at the Academy of Music.
I believe the Academy.
Academy of Music on Friday. So call in $60 will get you those tickets. And they're like front row, really good tickets. They're not like bleeding, nosebleed seconds.
We are coming up on Democracy Now! In just
about
a few seconds.
30 seconds,
but,
yeah.
But we do want to remind you that we're going to be here taking your calls. So 413-585-1033 is that number. So enjoy the
also
program.
Go to valleyfreeradio.org.
That's right. There's an easy donate button, even $2 a month.
Exactly.
That's true.
That would be really helpful.
All right, we'll turn it over to Amy, and we'll probably be back during the break just to talk up the fun drive. So give us a call and enjoy the show.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
I firmly believe that if we can continue to move forward and seize this momentum in pursuit of mutual interests, then better relations between the United States and Cuba will create new opportunities for cooperation across our region for the security and prosperity.